I'd like to say, first off, hello to our summer residents that are missing the light dusting of snow we just got here this morning. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Jim and Kathy. Hi, Andy and Dale. Hi, Jeremy. Our friends that listen who, because they live so far away, have never been to our church. I know my old shipmate Mark is over in the Buffalo area. And my friends Terry and Barb are down in Arizona. You're missing some beautiful weather. It's 31, the snow's stopped. Praise God. Did you do that when I wasn't looking? Praise God. See, that's what happens. So, last week as we were getting ready to leave, I mentioned that I had an ox in the ditch and everybody looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I figured out why. Because the Bible says an ox in the pit, not an ox in the ditch. But, you know, that translation thing gets you sometimes. I had a requirement. There was something that's going on at work and I had to go in. And while I don't work on Sundays, I am blessed with a position God has given me that pays the bills, that sometimes has a requirement. And generally other people take care of it, but it was a situation where I had to go. And I got to thinking about it. So oftentimes, we'll deal with situations by not having all of the answers, not having all the information. In fact, when Samuel was sent to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons to be the next king, he got there and saw the first son and says, "Ha, here's a strapping young man. Surely the Lord's anointed is in front of me." God says, "Nope, I've rejected him." Okay, well, how about the next guy? How about the next guy? And right on down the list. Until he went through everyone that was in the house. And then he turned to Jesse and says, "Is this all of your sons? Well, I have another one, but he's out keeping sheep in the field. He wasn't even important enough to be called in the eyes of man." We get our own ideas. We try not to. I try not to. Hopefully you try not to. Get our own ideas about how things should be. But what we need to do is recognize the heart of God in the matter. Recognize God working in the matter. So I want to talk about an ox in the ditch. Matthew 12, beginning with verse 1, says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck at the heads of the grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those that were with him, he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you, in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." I'm going to stop right there for a minute. So they're walking through the field and they're hungry and they grab some grain on the way. And the Pharisees are mad because they said they're harvesting grain. Okay. No, if you're harvesting grain, you're harvesting plots, a whole bunch of it. You're not plucking a handful here and a handful there. They're harvesting grain. Many years ago, I was in Israel. I was there as a missionary for a year and a half. And there was this one Sabbath day, which a lot of you have heard this before. The Sabbath day, the sun had just set on a Friday, and all of a sudden there's a frantic pounding on our door. So I go out, and I speak very little Hebrew. These folks spoke no English at all. So not able to understand what was going on, but finally, you know, motioning us for us to follow them. So we follow them into their apartment, and we go into the kitchen, and the refrigerator door is standing open and the light's on. Okay, what's the problem? Okay, how do we go about fixing this? Well, let's see, I can get my screwdriver and I can, you know, take out the switch. I can take out the bulb. Oh, no, there's a little lever that if you flip the lever, it makes it so the switch doesn't get activated when the door closes. That way they can close and open the door on the Sabbath day. A little modification to the refrigerators in Israel for a religious Jewish household so that they wouldn't have to work by starting a spark when they open the refrigerator door. Okay? Pay no mind to the fact that when you open a refrigerator door, some of the cold comes out and the compressor is going to kick on. That spark's going to happen, but you have no control over that. We're like, what? Okay, so as we tried processing this afterwards, after fixing it, they were afraid to do any work on the Sabbath day to the point where they were able to run up 2 flights of stairs to pound on our door to get us to come down to flip a switch, a little lever thing that just covered the door latch or the door sensor, so that when the refrigerator door closed or opened, it wouldn't strike a spark and therefore violate the Sabbath. But the law about the Sabbath says, you will do no work, neither will the stranger which is within your gates. So it was just as much a violation of the Sabbath to have me come flip the switch as it would have been for them to do it themselves. Do we get so bound up in what we think is the right way of doing things that we don't think things through? I was in many years ago, I was in a church, and the minister was up preaching, and I was good. I did not laugh out loud when he says this, but he said that the only Bible that was any good is the one the apostles carried, the King James Version. Praise God. Okay. Sometimes people get a little overboard. Remember what I said when we were, those of you on the tape haven't heard this, but back when I was getting ready to pray, I just lost my train of thought. Okay. Praise God. Never mind. Oh, I know what it was. Talking about Cornelius' household. And when Peter went to Cornelius' household, Peter said that those who seek the Lord will be found by him. We can get it in our idea, in our head, how something has to be. But that doesn't change the fact that God is the Lord of the Sabbath. God is the Lord of everything that goes on. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that in them are. And when we try to put God in our way of understanding, put God into our box, and make God line up with what we think things ought to be, it's not going to work. Paul said at one point, look to yourselves, how not many rich, how not many noble, how not many intelligent people are part of the kingdom of God. You know? We kind of get an idea of how things ought to be, and God confounds us. The Bible says God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. So here, Jesus and his disciples had gone through the field. They were hungry. They grabbed some grain on the way through. Not much different than going through an orchard and grabbing an apple or an orange, whatever. You know, a piece of fruit on your way past while you're going through. They weren't working. They weren't harvesting the field. But somebody said, you're doing it wrong. How many times do we find ourselves in situations where, like, oh, wait a minute, I don't know that I would have done it that way. But we have to go back to remember that each and every one of us is called to strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. Let me go on. Verse 9. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value then is the man than is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to this man, "Stretch forth your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. I don't know about you. I think going to plot how you're going to destroy something is something you should not do on a Sabbath day. You shouldn't do it any day, but you really shouldn't do it, especially when they were trying to trick him and trying to trip him up. Things are going to happen in our lives where we have to make judgment calls, where we have to ask the Lord to guide us, where we have to do the best we know how to do. And sometimes it's going to be in a conflict. You know, this all started talking about last week when I had to go into work. I don't work on a Sunday. But because of my obligations, if they need me, I can be there. However, I tell them, I'm busy Sunday morning. If I have to go in, I will go in the afternoon because that is when I can. And I've never had a problem with it. By the same token, I don't make other people do what I've been called to do. Our ox in the ditch, our ox in the pit, which I know this passage talks about the sheep, that's the next passage that talks about the ox. But our ox in the pit is, there are things that come up in our lives that we have to take care of. And we have to examine our heart as to why we do the things that we do. There have been many times, my wife can attest to this, where there have been something that I needed to do at the house, but I didn't need to do it that day. But if somebody else had an issue, I'm willing to go help them, even on a Sabbath day, because it is lawful to do good. It is lawful to do the things that God has gifted us and called us to do. It is lawful to be a light and a witness when we have the opportunity. Because God is the one who gives us the divine appointments. God is the one who makes the opportunity. God is the one who directs our steps. If God directs our steps and you run into somebody who has a need, do you think God knew about it ahead of time? I do. The things that we go through in this life, sometimes people from the outside aren't going to say, "Well, wait a minute, you did that wrong." Maybe I did. But I made the best choice and best decision I was able to, given the situation. I had an ox in the ditch. I had something come up that I had to take care of. Luke 14:1. "Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?'" Here's the same question, different situation, but the same question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. "So he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them and said, 'Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?' And they could not answer him regarding these things. And I didn't go on, but that's another place where it says, "And they went out to plot on how to get rid of him." See, Jesus came, and in the midst, right in the middle of the scribes and Pharisees and priests, he declared God's word and God's righteousness. And it conflicted with their traditions. Sometimes traditions get in the way. I grew up in a Pentecostal holiness church in South Florida, where ladies, everybody had high collars and long sleeves. Ladies had long dresses. And a few years ago, we were down in Tennessee, and I went to visit the family, or one of the families that had gone to that church with me. In fact, their father had been the pastor at one time, and I asked him what time church service was, and church service was at 10 o'clock, and we start pretty much right on time. I got a kick out of that because when I was growing up in church, church was at 9:45. And if you couldn't make it at 9:45, you were welcome to come on at 9:45. Nobody'd say a word. If you were outside of that part. So when they tell me it's going to start pretty much right on time, like, okay, I'm good with that. So I tell Deb, they're kind of very conservative in their dress. Which is what I remember. Now, granted, it had been 40 years since I'd seen him, okay? So it wasn't just a short time. Well, we get there, and the middle daughter is the pastor's wife of the church that we're at. Now, the older, the rest of the family is there. Her father's retired. So we go there, and the middle daughter is leading praise and worship, and let's just say she never dressed like that growing up. I don't know what changed. However, the Word of God is preached. I don't always understand the things that go on. But I know wherever the Word of God goes forth, that God doesn't allow His Word to go forth without an effect. It doesn't go forth in vain. It doesn't return vain. Doesn't return void is how the words, it's how it's worded in the King James. God's word never returns to him void, but it always does that which he sent it forth to accomplish. When I was in Pennsylvania a few years ago at a conference, and there was a gentleman there who was in a T-shirt and jeans. His arms are all covered in tattoos. His head is shaved from mid-sideburns over big bushy beard. He is the pastor of the local biker's church. And they meet on Thursday nights, and God works, and people's lives are touched and changed. They meet on Thursday because bikers tend to be out on big rides on Sunday. And it's very, very difficult to get them, you know, to change that mindset. But if he was willing to go and do something a little off the beaten path, to do something a little different, he was able to meet them and to minister to their needs and to share the love of Jesus with them. Now, I could have said, well, if you don't meet for church on this day, then you're doing it wrong. However, I don't have all the answers. I don't even know all the information. I have my own way of doing things and my own way of understanding things, but that does not change the fact that God is in control. And if God is able to use him to touch a group of people that I could never minister to, who in the world am I to say you're doing it wrong? If God is able to work in that little church in Tennessee and touch and change people's lives, who am I to say you're doing it wrong? You don't answer to me. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. Each and every one of us serve the Lord God. Each and every one of us are called to do our very best to exhibit the love and grace and mercy of God. We cannot do it in our own strength. We can only do it through the grace that God provides to us. We can only do it through the Holy Spirit of Jesus, of the Lord. We can only do it with a changed life. But if we have an open heart to reach out to the people that God has placed in our path, God can do wondrous things. God's word will not return void. It will touch and change and work in people's lives. There's a pastor's meeting that we attend the first Tuesday of each month down in Waterbury. And there's a very diverse group of pastors from the state of Vermont that attend there. There's Pentecostals, there's Baptists, there's Episcopals, there's Methodists, there's a Catholic priest who comes, several non-denominational pastors, Assemblies of God, different groups coming together. and not looking at our differences, but looking at our common goals to reach this state for the Lord. To give glory to Jesus Christ. To show the love of God to the people around us. How can we work together? What can we do? How can we come together in unity? A few years ago, in the editorial pages of the St. Albans Messenger, two local pastors were having an argument about Scripture. I'm like, are you kidding me? How in the world is that going to stir up people to want what we have when all they can see you doing is fighting? My desire, my drive, my goal is to see the body of Christ healed. To see people from different denominations, different groups coming together in unity. We don't have to all be the same. We don't have to understand Scripture the same. What we have to understand is that the author of Scripture loves us and wants to reach into us. And if we will submit our lives and reach out to help other people, look for those things that we can agree on. Look for those ways that we can help one another. Look for those ways we can encourage one another. Look for those ways that we can come in unity. When we do that, then the people from the outside see unity and not division. They see something that might be worth desiring, not just something for people to fight about. Not just, they're no better than me. I've seen battles in church all my life, and that's a big reason, big part of the reason why I didn't darken a door for 16 years. I've seen it. Yet God in His grace and God in His mercy rescued me from me. Rescued my brother so that he is now a pastor after 35 years of not being sober unless he was in jail. God is able to change anybody's life. And He's able to use tools that we would not imagine. So because of that, when we have a situation, we recognize that we don't have all of the answers. We don't even know all the facts. We don't even have all the questions. But what we have is a God that loves us enough that even in the difficulties, even in the problems, wants to catch our attention and say, I love you. I'm at work in you. Rather than pointing out the problems with somebody else, how can you help them? How can you reach out to them? How can you show God's grace and God's love to them? There's another passage in Luke that again talks about God, Jesus doing good on the Sabbath day. We don't need to read that because God is kind of twisted this just a little bit from where I thought I was going. As God works in each and every one of us, it's not going to be the same way. We may not understand things the same way because our background, our teaching growing up, our experiences all color the way we see things and the way we understand. And it's not just us. Everybody goes through that. That's how we perceive things. Our history affects how we perceive the current time, how we perceive our current situation. And because of that, we're going to see things differently. Doesn't mean we're wrong. Doesn't mean both are wrong. Doesn't mean either of us are wrong. Doesn't mean either of us are right. What it means is differences in agreement are natural. Differences in understanding are normal. They should not become a barrier to showing God, showing the love of God, the love that God has given you to another person. They shouldn't be a barrier to showing the love God has given me to another person. And if I allow it to become a barrier, then I become a stumbling block for somebody else. I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. But there's that potential in each and every one of us that from based on our own understanding, based on our history, based on our way of perceiving things, that we can get in somebody else's way and become a block from them drawing closer to the Lord. That's a scary thing. It's easy to talk about when I have an ox in the ditch. when I have something going on that I have to take care of, and how it would be wrong for somebody else to judge me because of something that I had to do. Yet each and every one of us are potentially guilty of the same thing. Each and every one of us should guard ourselves, ask for the Lord's heart of compassion, so that we don't judge unrighteously and in doing so become an obstacle and a block to other people. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We recognize, Father, through your word that sometimes our own perceptions and our own understanding get in the way and become a barrier to somebody else. Help us, Lord, to look for the good things. Help us, Father, to meditate on those things that are true, and those things, Father, that are noble, those things, Father, that are of good report. Help us, Lord, to look for ways to reach out to encourage and to strengthen the body of Christ. Help us, Father, to look for ways to be a light. Help us, Lord, to look for ways, Father, that we can be a blessing. Father, in those times where we've allowed our own understanding and our own understanding, Father, maybe our own way of perceiving things to be a basis for a false judgment, Lord, we repent and ask, Lord, that you would just teach us and guide us and use us and work through us, Father, that when people look at us, they see Jesus. Refine us, Lord, even knowing that silver and gold are refined by turning up the heat, turning up the pressure, so that the impurities come to the surface so they can be drawn away. Lord, that the purifying process is sometimes going to bring out things, Lord, we didn't want anybody to know was in there. But Lord, purify us, work in us, and be glorified in us. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.